Good evening. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm glad to be on the Lord's side. I got my training wheels on this evening. A little nervous, but I don't know why. Same God that blesses us in Dallas or wherever else we go is going to be the same God that's going to be with us tonight. So that's who we're relying on. That's who we are counting on tonight. And so I desire your prayers. My name is Henry. I'm from the Dallas congregation. And I'm like every last one of you in here. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven and I want to please the Lord. And so what the Lord tells me to do, then I have to do it by the grace and help of God. I want to do it. So be praying for me tonight. The Lord gave me something a few days ago. I'll back up a little bit. Last year I came and I was a little daunted or a little afraid, but I told the Lord last year, I said, Lord, if you give me something for the people this year, then I'm going to do it. And so I believe that the Lord has given me something. And again, I want you to pray for me. The title of this discourse is Well Pleased. Well Pleased. The Lord wants us to have a mindset to please Him. He doesn't want us to please Him at the bare minimum, but He wants our mindset to be to please Him to the best of our ability. There is safety in that. When we live in a way that we go above and beyond, so to speak, expectation, when we go beyond the bare minimum, there is safety in that. We're wanting to go to heaven. We're wanting to please the Lord. And so God wants not only to be pleased with us, but He wants to be well pleased with us. And so our mindset has to be one that has to make a shift. Sometimes we have a mindset of God is lucky to have us. God's lucky to have us. If He's not careful, then we're going to leave Him alone. Rebuke the devil. See, rebuke the devil. That's the wrong mindset. What we want to do is we want to have the mindset of we're blessed to have Him in our lives. We owe God. He doesn't owe us. See, He obligates Himself to help us. He obligates Himself to help us because He loves us, but He does not owe us. We owe Him. May God help us this evening. All right, He wants us to please Him, and He's very specific in the way that He wants to be pleased. He'll let us know what it is if we're willing and obedient. The Bible says if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the Lamb. If we refuse and rebel, we'll be devoured by the sword. And so it takes a willingness in order to please God. It takes a want to please God. And so He wants us to want to please Him. May God help us. My own version of pleasing God won't do. I know a lot of people, it seems like they have the mindset that I'm going to do what I want to do, and then God better accept it. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. God lets us know what it is that He wants us to do, and then He lets us know what it is that He doesn't want us to do, and then we, by the grace and help of God, endeavor to do all that we can to be pleasing unto Him. May God help us this evening. I want us to turn to Matthew 17 and 5. This is a very familiar scripture, and what we want to do is we want to focus on the words that's being read. My wife, if somebody would give my wife the microphone, she reads for me and she helps me out. But I want us to understand that it takes effort to please the Lord. We have to endeavor. We have to be willing to go through some things in order to please the Lord. We have to seek to know His will. And then once we know His will, we have to follow hard after it. May God help us this evening. All right. Do we have Matthew 17 and 5? Read that for it, please.
While he yet spake, behold, yes, a bright cloud overshadowed them.
All
and
right.
Behold, a voice out of the cloud, which All right. said,
I want you to pay attention here.
This
what he say?
Is my beloved Son,
All right.
in whom I am well pleased.
All right.
Hear
I want us,
ye him.
Yes, I want us to focus on that last portion of that scripture. Who is this talking about? This is talking about Jesus Christ, right? So there's a connection there, right? Because we are Christians, right? The word Christian comes from Christ, right? And so we're following Jesus Christ. That's what we're endeavoring to do. That's what makes us a Christian. And so this is God the Father. He's looking down on Jesus Christ, and he's saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He didn't say he was just pleased. He said he was well pleased. And so what did Jesus do when he was down here? Everything he possibly could, didn't he, to please the Lord. He did everything he could to please the Lord. And so you and I are going to have to do the same thing. We're going to have to put forth a great effort to please the Lord. I want us to be encouraged tonight to know that it's going to take effort, but God is going to help us every step of the way. He said he wouldn't leave us, and he said he would not forsake us. And so as long as we keep our hand in his, he'll bless us and he'll help us. May God help us this evening. All right, he did all he could, and he endeavored to please the Lord. He's our example, so we're going to have to follow him and if we want God to be pleased with us. There are three distinct obstacles or enemies of pleasing the Lord. There are three of them. There may be more, but there's at least three of them. All right? The first one is self. All right? The second one is the world. Right? And the third one is the enemy of all souls. I want to talk about those three things. Not going to hold you too long tonight, but I want you to get a hold of what we're trying to get here. In Mark 8 and 34, somebody get that for us and read it. This is the first one that we're talking about, all right? It's in Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. Pray for us tonight.
And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them,
all right,
whosoever will come after me,
yes,
let him deny himself,
yes,
and take up his cross,
right,
and follow me.
All right, for whosoever will save his life, what's he going to do? He's going to lose it. I'm asking you, I want you to tell me, if you save your life, what's going to happen? You're going to lose it. But whosoever lose his life for
my sake
and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? The first issue that we're going to have to overcome, and we're going to have to do this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, is learn how to deny ourselves. All right? God is requiring something of us because he knows that self wants to be in the way. Self is in competition with the will of God. All right? And so self wants to be first. It wants to be in charge. And so it's always there. Matter of fact, the Bible says to deny yourself daily because it's always there. And so may God help us. It says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall find it. What that means is my way has to become less important. His way has to become most important. You understand? God's way is more important than my way. The song says, God's way is best if human wisdom, a fair way, may seem to show. It's only that our earth dim vision. Get a hold of what it's saying. Earth dimmed vision, the truth may never clearly know. God's way is best. I will not murmur. Although the end I may not see, where'er he leads, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best. It's best for me. And so what happens with self, self wants to get in the way. All right? It always wants to compete for the will of God. All right? And what it does is it makes it hard to be well-pleasing unto God. If you are a Christian and you are having trouble with your peace and your joy, it's difficult to follow after what God is calling for you to do, I would strongly encourage you tonight to take a look at self. Self is in the way. You see, because what's happening is it makes it, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I found it so. So we have to understand that when self is in the way, listen, it's not natural to deny yourself. It's not natural to when you get smacked on one cheek, you turn the other cheek. It's not natural to take the low road all the time. But this is what God is requiring of us. Not only is he requiring it of us, but he has obligated himself to help us to do it. It said, it is God that worketh in me both to what? To will and then what? Do of his good pleasure, see? And so I've got help all the time. But I have to be willing to do what God is asking me to do. And if that self is in the way, then what it's going to do is going to make it hard. It's going to be, I'm going to barely be able to make it to church. I'm going to be, Lord help me, I got to go to church again. May God help us. I want to be at church. I'm glad to be at church. How am I going to get help to my soul for what I need if I don't? Where am I going to get the help at? It's not at Walmart. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not at Walmart. It's not nowhere else. It's here in the house of God. So I can come and get the needs of my soul met. And so when self is in the way, it makes everything hard. May God help us. And so I want to encourage you this evening. Talk to the Lord about it. What you can do about it is come to an altar of prayer and say, Lord, I've got too much self on hand. I like myself too much. And so, Lord, I need you to help me with that. I need you to help me to overcome myself. I need you to help me to deny myself and so that I can have the joy of the Lord in my salvation. So that I can appreciate your goodness unto me. God wants to do that for us. And he will do that for us. I found that to be so. May God help us this evening. All right. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, let me ask you this. And I want you to respond. If you know the answer, respond. If you don't deny yourself, you're going to take up the cross? No. You're going to take you're going to grab the cross. Oh, that looks fun. Let me grab the cross and put it on my back. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You see, God lets us know how it's going to be. He said, they that will live godly shall suffer persecution. We're going to go through some difficult things. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tests. There's going to be tribulation. And so what needs to happen is I've got to deny myself in order to even take the next step. Does that make sense? All right, so God, what he does is he says, listen, I'm going to help you deny yourself. And once you deny yourself, you're going to go through some difficulties. You're going to go through some hardships. But it's going to be easier for you to do because self is out of the way. And then I'm going to help you do it. May God help us. He said, take up your cross and follow me. I told you before in the beginning of the self discourse, one thing about self is it wants to have its way. And so what we do is, and it's kind of comical, some of the things as a Christian is funny because some of the things we do doesn't make sense. Lord, I know you made all of this. The very breath that I'm breathing right now, you gave me. The mind that is working properly, the body that you gave me to do all the things that you allow me to do, I know you did all that right. The water that I'm drinking, the air that I'm breathing, all those good things that you did all that right. But in this situation right here, this one right here, I got the answer on this one. I got it, Lord. How about you hold off, and I'm going to handle this, Lord. And then at the end of that, you come on back in, and we'll keep going forward. That's what we do with the Lord. Now, how is that going to work? He did everything else right, but he don't understand this little old baby problem that you and I are facing. May God help us this evening. God knows what he is doing. God knows what he's doing. But you've got to let go of the reins. Stop holding on to the reins. He got the reins. He got all of that. You understand? Because he made everything. And so therefore, what we have to do is acknowledge that in our mind and let that not just stay in our mind, but get deep down in our hearts. Right? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you're going to obey me. So what that means is, Lord, I believe your words are true. I'm going to deny myself by your grace and help and mercy. I'm going to take up my cross. And most importantly, I'm going to follow you. Why should we follow the Lord? We know what? Somebody said he knows the way. The way to where? Where are you trying to go? See? No point in doing anything else. Can you? Do you know where it is? I don't know where it is. And so I've got to follow him. I've got to follow him. And that's what happens. He allows us to have the understanding that he knows where heaven is. God's in heaven right now. Right? And so he has the ability to look down on you and me and lead and guide and direct us through dangers, seen and unseen, through perils, whatever it might be, through victories and through the valley low, on into glory. May God bless us this evening. He's got the ability to do that. And so we have to trust him. May God help us. Want to be well-pleasing unto God. These are the things that pleases God. Denying ourselves, taking our cross, and following him. May God help us this evening. John 10 and 10. I'm sorry, that's not it. Don't go there yet. I missed the page. The second thing that I said was the world, right? These are all very familiar scriptures. 1 John 2 and 15, I want you to read down through verse number 17 for me, please.
Love not the world.
All right.
Neither the things that are in the world.
All right.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
All right.
For all that is in the world, the all lust right. of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life
okay.
is not of the Father, but is of the world.
All right.
And the world passes away, and the lust thereof.
All right.
But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
All right. So, second thing that it hinders us, can hinder us along the way, and being well-pleasing unto God is the love of the world, all right? We're in the world. We're always going to be in the world until we go to heaven. And so we're to use it and not abuse it, all right? But the love of the world, what it does is it also competes for the love of God. What's that verse said? It says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so this makes salvation difficult too, right? Because we begin to look at these temporal things. They can even be lawful things. Lord, I want this kind of job. I want this kind of husband or wife. I want this kind of retirement. I want all these different things. And what that does is it's beginning to push out what God's will and purpose and providence is in my life. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. But what I can do is I can put all those things in front of, I'm not even talking about sin right now. I'm talking about things that are lawful that we're legally able to do as Christians, and they can come and kill and steal our love for God. May God help us. May God help us. We're talking about things that compete for our affection for God. Notice the word love. Love is something that causes us to want to do right. It causes us to want to go the extra mile. Remember, we're talking about being well-pleasing unto God. And so when that love of the world comes in, how am I going to go that extra mile when I'm divided between the two? May God help us. God wants our hearts. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's in the world? Think about pleasing God, and then let's think about what's in the world and how that's going to work. What's in the world? All that's in the world is what? Lust of the flesh. Does that please God? Lust of the eye. Is that going to please God? And the pride of life. You see how that's going to be an issue? How am I going to please the Lord when I have these things on hand? God is a God of love, all right? And he defines what love is. You see, like, I don't know if you guys have been noticing, but people are trying to redefine what love is. How are you going to tell God what love is? God is love. So wouldn't he know what love is? May God help us. God is love in and of itself, so he is the definer of love, right? But notice that the scripture says all that's in the world. It didn't say the love. It said the lust of the flesh. Lust is something different. Lust is something that is perverted, something that is unclean, something that is unrighteousness. That's what's in the world, and that is what is competing for God's love. May God help us this evening. We want to be pleasing unto God, and so we need to understand that the love of God and the love of the world cannot coexist. They can't do it. You can't do both. When we love God properly, what it will do will displace the love of the world. You will find yourself, the things that you used to be overly involved with, overly concerned with, they will lose. Let's see what that song is. Yet let worldly minds the world pursue. It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but what? Grace has set me free. Christ has set me free. It says free, free, free. I am from sin set free. This world has now no charm for me, for Christ has set me free. And so what happens is I have to pursue this. Do you know that everything we do in concerning our relationship with God involves choice? If I want to go to heaven, do you know I can go to heaven? But it takes a choice. Sometimes we come down to the altar and we say, Lord, I see that the world is beating me up. I see that the devil is beating me up, and I don't like what's happening. I don't like who I'm becoming. And so, Lord, I want you to save me. And he does. He'll save us. But that doesn't stop there, though. Our salvation is a daily relationship with God. We make the original decision, and then we make a supporting decision on a daily basis. This is how we get to heaven. Anything that comes against or would like to get in between us and our love for God, it has to go. God doesn't go, it has to go. And if you're in a situation where, again, you don't feel God's presence, you don't feel his love, you don't feel his grace and mercy in your life, something is wrong. That is an indicator that something's going on here. And so I want to encourage you, check on these things. Amen. Check on these things. Do I love the world? Is self dominating my life? All right? And God will let us know. He's a faithful God. He loves us. He really does love us. Let me tell you why I'm saved. I'm going to pause this message just for a minute, and I'm going to tell you why I'm saved. I'm going to tell you why I'm saved. Because it's encouraging to my heart, and it may encourage someone else. When I lived in sin, I was a bad sinner, meaning that I was good at sinning, put it that way. I'm not highlighting that. I'm not happy about that. I'm ashamed of that. But that's the truth. And the enemy, when I was on his territory, several times he tried to kill me, and several times he tried to take my mind. Now, how does that make sense? I'm out here doing your work. I'm not opposing you, but I'm out here doing all this mess for you, and you're going to kill me? You're going to take my mind? If he took my mind, I couldn't do nothing like this. Let alone I could even live saved. May God help us. Somebody has to pray for me to get my mind back. And so what happened was, is God began to deal with my never-dying soul. And he said, Henry, you don't have to live like this. You know better than this. Your mother is a child of God. You got two sisters that's living right at the time. And you got others that are truly living right, and you know that God loves them and he's taking care of them. Why would you trade what your opportunity to have a blessed life for something like this? And so I said, Lord, help me. I said, Lord, help me. I wasn't even saved, and I began to pray. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. And I encourage anybody to do that. Amen. My mother taught me that before she passed away. She said, son, ask God to have mercy on you. Ask him to have mercy. I wasn't to the point where I could even kneel down. I wasn't there yet. But I said, Lord, have mercy on me. Please do something about me. I need you to help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And so he began to deal and to work in my life. We have a heart, and sometimes in sin, it gets hard. And so it's very difficult for the Lord to work with that kind of heart. And so he began to deal and work and began to soften my heart. And at first opportunity, I said, Lord, I want to be saved, Lord. So as soon as I can get saved, Lord, help me to have the strength and the courage to make that move. And he met me at an altar of prayer. It's a true thing. Do you know if you're standing in the pew and you really want to be saved and you take that first step, the Holy Ghost will meet you and help you get down to the altar? He will. He did it for me. The other reason why I'm saved is this. Not only did he save me, but the Bible talks about his keeping power. He's mighty to save and he's mighty to keep. God will keep you. All right? So many times I failed. Many times I had difficulties. Many times I had to ask the Lord, please forgive me. But the Lord said in his word, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Right? And so he began to teach me. But see, sometimes we're so stuck in our ways, before we can learn, then we have to unlearn the old way in order to learn the new way. And God waited on me. He was patient with me. He was kind and he was good to me. And he kept me. And I thank God for that. All right? And I'm encouraging you tonight, if this is your situation, if the Lord is dealing with your heart, that means he's here. You're obviously here and he wants to do something for you. So I encourage you, move as the Lord deals and works with you. All right. The last thing I want to talk about before we sit down, I appreciate your time, your attention. I've been working on not taking all day to get to the point and belaboring the point too much. So continue to pray for me in that way. All right. So the Lord, the enemy, what he wants to do two things. All right. If he can keep you from getting saved, he'll do that. All right. That's his ultimate goal, because he knows if you leave here without God, then you're going to go to a place that wasn't designed for you. The Bible says that hell was made for the devil and his angel. My question is, what in the world do you want to go there for? I'm not going. By the grace and help of God, I'm not going. Why would I go? I'm not going. I'm not going. God has promised to help me and to bless me and to keep me, and so I'm just not going to go by the grace and help of God. And so what the enemy wants to do, he either is going to keep you from getting saved, or the devil, he's a dirty, I don't like him. I want you to understand that. I really don't like him. He's not my friend. You understand that? God got that over to me. The devil is not your friend. Sometimes we don't really understand. It sounds good up here. But what are you doing? If you're listening to him, why are you listening to him? Why are you listening? I don't care if he tell you the truth. I promise you, there's some guile in that. There's some trickery coming on. He's going to do you in if you even listen to him. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. All right? He's not your friend. All right? And so what the enemy wants to do is keep you from being saved. But what he'll also do is if you're saved, he'll try to make it difficult for you. The Bible says, somebody get that John 10 and 10. It says the thief cometh not but to do what? Steal.
And to kill.
And to kill.
And to destroy.
And to destroy. What else?
I have come that they might have life.
I've come that they might have life.
And that they might have it more abundantly.
I believe in that. Amen. That's why I'm saved today. I want life and life more abundantly. And I believe that the devil wants to steal and kill and destroy. And he doesn't care if you're saved either. I want you to understand that. What he's doing, he has an ultimate goal. And so what he does is he comes and he wants to steal your joy. Let me have a little bit of that joy. You don't need it. You're not using it. Let me have a little bit of that joy. You got some peace? Come here. Let me get a little bit of that. That's what he wants to do. And so then we find ourselves feeling a certain way. I'll tell you this, feelings are unreliable at best. May God help us. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. All right? And so what we have to have, why I said that, is because that's got to be my mindset if I want to be pleasing unto the Lord. I have to find a way to deal with the things that I'm going through. If my peace is being stolen from me, if my joy, if my want to is being affected, that the Lord says, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so if I have a need before the Lord, there's nothing wrong with coming to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to feel better. I want more joy. I want more peace. I'm not saying, Lord, fix the problem. I want to have peace in the time of trouble and peace in the midst of the storm. God can do that for us. All right? True victory is when, not that the problem has changed, not that the situation has changed or the circumstances has changed, but I have changed. I've still got my peace. I've still got my joy. I've still got victory in my soul. That's what God is offering us. I'm not telling you that he won't do something about the situation and the circumstance. I promise you he will. But even if he doesn't, you and I can go to heaven anyway. And it doesn't have to be something that I'm dragging myself along trying to do. May God help us this evening. All right. Thief come about to steal, kill, and to destroy. If he can steal it, then he's going to kill it. And if he can't steal it or kill it, he's going to try to destroy it. And so what we need to do is understand that God is willing and able to help us. He's willing and able to help us. He wants us to live in a way that be pleasing unto him. He wants us to get away from the bare minimum mindset. And he wants us to get into a mindset of being well-pleasing unto him. The Bible says that whosoever will, let him come. That's an invitation to any and everybody. I've got an opportunity right here, right now, to have a relationship with the Lord. If I don't have a relationship with the Lord, it starts there. And then once I get my relationship with the Lord intact, then I begin to work on pleasing the Lord. You can take this mindset and it will lead you all the way to heaven. You believe that? Your mindset is to please the Lord. And so when he comes to you and says, I want you to stop doing that, guess what you do? Stop doing that. He said, I want you to start doing this. You'll start doing that. You understand? And you can go all the way to heaven with that kind of mindset. I want to encourage you this evening that this is what is available to you and to me. I appreciate your time and your attention. I appreciate your prayers for me. I want to make heaven my home. And I'm not just saying that. I for real want to make heaven my home. And so I need the Lord to help me to do that, and I need your prayers. And my end of the bargain on that is I'm going to be praying for you. I want you to make heaven too. So you pray for me. I'll be praying for you. I appreciate your time and your attention. May God bless you.